What do they want from Poppy?
Well, Poppy's a little slumpy.
So I'm going to share something today that might gross some of you guys out, but this is the society we live in. But I'm talking about living clean in a dirty world. And so just that clip from Seinfeld kind of shows where this kind of the mentality that we have is, which is normal now, but it used to not be normal to, you know, clean up, have a daily hygiene, wash your hands, brush your teeth, bathe, and all that kind of stuff. So we live because we realize we live in a dirty world. We live in a world full of just germs and diseases and stuff like that. So most of us have our daily ritual. You know, I get up in the morning, you know, wash my hands, wash my face, brush my teeth, all that kind of stuff. So there's a reason for that, because we realize that, you know, you're going to stink, or you're going to start to rot, or something like that. We realize there's something going on there. So even with our kids, we teach them at a young age, you know, look, it's time to, you need to learn how to brush your teeth and, you know, bathe and take care of yourself. And usually they're trying to run away and get away from you and all that. But, you know, and even there's even campaigns that go out towards our kids. I remember a while back ago, there was this little cartoon cat, a little green cat named Crawford the Cat. And he was like on public television, or he's using the education system, and he's showing you how to wash your hands and how to clean up your room, how to sneeze properly and all that kind of stuff. And then even Elmo on Sesame Street, he had like this music video, which was about brushing your teeth. And it was, and when my kids were little, you know, I would put that on, and it was jamming too. He was all, brush your teeth, keep them looking clean and bright, brush, 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 and he was getting down. And I was like, man, that's catchy. You know, so kids get into that. So I was like, man, Elmo needs to put out an album or something. You know, forget about Justin Bieber or Justin Timberlake. Elmo, you know, so bring it on. And so to this day, I'm still singing it, you know. But, you know, we have those out there for our kids to learn how to, you know, take care of themselves, clean up and all that stuff. So why is that? Because we realize it's important. So let's look at some statistics here. So about 65 to 70% of Americans shower or bathe daily. Around 15 to 20% shower every other day or less. Now, this is nasty. Last year, the New York Post reported a study that revealed that roughly 45% of Americans admit to peeing in the shower at least once during the week, or sorry, once during the year. 12% of them admitted to doing it daily, while another 12% did just a few times every week. Moving on. I thought there was a place for that, but I don't know. Americans spend billions of dollars annually on soaps, deodorants, toothpaste, and personal hygiene products. The average person touches their face thousands of times per day, which I do that. I'm always touching my face. That's why I'm always washing my hands. A smartphone can carry more bacteria than a toilet seat. Humans shed about 30,000 or 40,000 skin cells every minute. So that's what's all over the place. We sit on it, we bathe in it, or we sleep on it, everything. I know my pillow needs to be washed quite often. Anyhow, your body is home to trillions of microorganisms, most of them harmless or helpful. So there's also this air. We spend a lot of time indoors, so we're always breathing this stuff in. So we have, it says Americans spend around 90% of their time indoors. So you have indoors, you have all this dust, mold spores, pet dander, you know, cleaning chemical residue and all these airborne viruses and all that kind of stuff. So it's just, it goes on and on. Anyhow, but humans didn't always think like this. We didn't always have this mentality that, oh, we need to stay clean, we need to do all this kind of stuff. Because we can understand that we look at history, we learn about all these plagues that happen. A lot of them is because of lack of sanitary, lack of, you know, hygiene and all those kind of things. So, there was an interesting character in history, which was Ignaz Semmelweis, if you can put that up. So this was interesting because in the 1840s, he was a doctor, and he was figuring out that in this clinic, there's these, you know, these ladies that were giving birth, and they were getting like sick, which was what they called childbed fever, and they were getting sick and they were dying. And, He later ascertained that, okay, these doctors are in this clinic, or one part of the place, they're doing autopsies on dead people, and then they're going to go across the hall to deliver babies. And so he had figured, like, look, What he had thought is like they're taking pieces of corpse, maybe stuff in their hands, or like that, and doing the stuff and getting on that. But we know today it was bacteria, it was germs and stuff like that, which was making that. So he was saying, look, you guys need to start washing your hands, you know, and not just wash your hands in water. He's like make a solution and mix it together and clean your hands. And so he said when doctors started doing that, there was like the mortality rate for those women went from 18% down to less than 2%. And so it began to figure that out. But then the weird thing about it, the doctors were offended. Like, how dare you tell us to wash our hands? You know, you're saying that we're carrying these germs, they didn't know they were germs, but they're saying we're carrying these fever, these diseases to these ladies. We're gentlemen, you know, we're doctors. That's ridiculous. And they thought he was crazy. This is crazy. And so you have these educated men who pretty much say this guy's crazy, that they renounced him. Towards the end of his life, which he was in his mid-40s, they checked him into an insane asylum, and he later died just a couple of weeks later. So it's a tragic story, but he's one of the pioneers that just started talking about doctors need to start washing their hands when they're dealing with their patients and stuff like that. So today, washing your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds remains the single most effective way to prevent the spread of germs. So we know that today, but that wasn't always the mentality. Also, there was a French chemist, microbiologist, who Louis Pasteur, that's where we get pasteurized from. And so he was a guy who kind of established germ theory, and he kind of figured out how diseases came about and all those kind of things like that. So he developed vaccines and all those things, and so now it's kind of normal. So before modern sanitation, infectious diseases were among the leading causes of death in America. And so again, we live in a dirty world. There's all this stuff. So the cool thing about it, which is I find very interesting, one of the biggest breakthroughs in human history wasn't electricity or the internet. It was realizing we should wash our hands. Just daily, simple stuff. Because again, we know that we live in a dirty world. So we deal with bacteria, viruses, you know, fungi, and not fun guys, but fungi, fungus, mold, parasites, and all that kind of stuff. So it took a while, huh? So we discovered they also found out that even our eyelashes have these microscopic mites living on them. So again, I'm not trying to gross you guys out, but this is just what it's about. So just like this whole invisible world of all these different things, these living organisms, most of them are good, but some are bad. They'll tear you up. All right. So the goal isn't about trying to remain sterile, but it's about, you know, having wisdom to have a smart hygiene and all those kind of things. So it says the average person spends months of their life bathing or showering, and just think about it. Our civilization is held together just because of proper plumbing and sanitation, you know. It's crazy. Otherwise, you know, you go around stinking and not bathing, you know, you're not going to do very well in society.
Amen.
Amen. Amen to that. All right. So we're going to switch over to, it's like, Derek, where are you getting to? On the spiritual side, since we live in this world full of contamination, on the physical side, it's a contaminated world spiritually. And so we have to figure out, okay, how and why does this matter? So we realize that there's an invisible world that shapes our daily life. On a physical side, we realize that because on a daily basis, we're always brushing our teeth, washing our hands, showering, doing all those kind of things. We take care of our bodies because we realize that there's a harm out there if we don't. So good hygiene is one of the reasons why modern humans live longer than generations before us. Modern sanitation and hygiene are estimated to have saved more human lives than almost any other public health advancement in history. And the weird thing I found out was that the CDC, it was only in the 80s, 1980s, that the CDC really started pushing, you know, wash your hands after you, you know, go to the bathroom and stuff like that, because they were realizing, oh, there's a spread here, all these things going on. So this advancement of staying clean is just really, really new. It's from our generation. Those of us who are boomers and Gen Xers and stuff like that, and millennials. So cleanliness isn't about obsession, it's about understanding how humans survive and thrive in a world full of invisible life. And all these things happening. You can't just clean only one part of your body. So we learned that. So you just washing your hands isn't enough. There's other parts of your body that need to be clean, you know, and more than just two or three. It has to be a whole body thing. And so because to truly live clean in a dirty world, we have to cleanse our entire body. So in the same way, we have to cleanse our entire soul as well. And that's where I'm going to get to today. So just as we live in a physical contaminated world, we live in a spiritually contaminated world. And I like how Pastor Scott's doing the whole Genesis chapter 1 study, which is really good, so good. Really enjoyed it. And I know for me, the past several years, I've been really studying Genesis chapter 1 through 11 because those first 11 chapters basically explains what happened. It basically explains why the world is the way it is. We understand that not only is there the fall of mankind, but there's also the fall of these spirits have brought this. There's this sickness, there's this disease spiritually in mankind and also in the spirit world. And it affects us. It affects this earth, this rock, this tiny little speck in the universe. It's just so much concentration here. And so just as we have to practice our physical hygiene, we must, as believers, and as humans in general, we must practice a spiritual hygiene. And that's what this is all about. So let's look at James chapter 1. And then James is talking about, hey, you guys talk about religion and stuff like that, but I'll tell you what. He says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. If we go over to 1 John 2, verse 15, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For anything in the world, that's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So people always ask him, why did God create the world like this? And the truth is, he didn't. He created the world perfect and beautiful and harmless. But what happened? Sickness and disease hit it. And I'm not talking about like physical sickness and disease, which it did, but sin. This darkness, this system that is against the way that God has meant things to be. And that's what we find out when we read the scriptures. Okay, so contamination. So contamination happens, let's just say, physically in our lives, it can happen gradually. It's something that we don't really see it coming up. It's not sometimes until we get sick and we realize, okay, I got something. I've been contaminated by something. And so on the physical side, people usually notice, you know, germs accumulating, odors, you know, infections, mold spreading. We begin to see that because we see, okay, there's a contamination here. There's something that's growing, that's festering, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But on the spiritual side, we rarely see that happen because we don't notice that because we're not sensitive to it. And that's why it's very important that we become sensitive to the things of the spirit, things of the sinful nature and stuff like that. So people tend to get contaminated in the world, just metaphorically speaking, is just by constant exposure from something that's not really good. It's not good for you to be watching this or listening to that. It's not good for you to be hanging out with that group. It's not good for you to be absorbed into these kind of fallen, you know, mindsets and stuff like that. So we have these different habits that we get into. We tolerate certain thoughts, you know, we let it fester, we let it, you know, come into us. And we have all these different sins, these little small sins that just kind of, we just hold on to, and we just kind of keep going through and kind of keep going through and say, I'm okay, I'm getting through this, I'm fine. And then we have these unhealthy influences in our lives from all these different types of people and all these different, there's so many voices in this world, so many things coming at us constantly, especially for us modern people who have these devices and screens and televisions and all these things coming at us. So people rarely wake up one day completely corrupted. Most spiritual damage happens slowly through repeated exposure. And so just like if we're in a physically, we'll go out through the world and we're just picking up, we're touching screens and we're going to the bank and we're doing all these things, we're shaking hands, we're just in all this, because we figured it out in COVID. You know, COVID, we all had to social distance and get all that stuff away from each other and wash up and all that stuff. And it was terrible. You know, even for me, who was I'm an introvert, and I love being at home. It was still like, man, forget this. You know, this is ridiculous. You know, so even I, a person like me, noticed that. But we figure out that there's these things spread on us, and all those kind of things. So spiritually, what do we need to do? We need to, what the Bible talks about is guarding our heart. So let's look at what Jeremiah said. So Jeremiah is talking about the human heart. In chapter 17, verse 9, he says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure." The English Standard Version says, "It's desperately sick." I like that. So, and he says, "Who can understand it? Who can understand the human heart?" And then the Lord says, "I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." So this is not a way in where God is like, oh, I'm looking for people to judge. He's just saying, I'm looking at who you are. I'm looking what's, so we know the heart is, this is the very core of who a person is. Who are you? And so God is seeing that. He's examining that. He's examining what's inside you. He's examining what you're thinking, because we realize that we are contaminated in this world by all this stuff. Let's look at Matthew 23. This is Jesus talking. And Jesus is always racking the Pharisees over and over again, the religious leaders, because they are the guys who are supposed to be the shepherds of Israel, who are supposed to be God's dudes who are helping people get closer to God, but they were corrupt. And so they have all these different rituals and things they do to keep clean and all that kind of stuff. And he just basically, he's like, man, you blind Pharisees. Let's just go to verse 26. "First clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." Because he talks about, you know, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence, all that kind of stuff. So Jesus talked about, look, he's talking about the heart. He's talking about the very core of a person. So he's saying the inside there, that's where it's all, that's where the truth is. That's what's going on. So if that's corrupt, then all you are corrupt, no matter what you look like on the outside, no matter how you're acting on the outside, no matter how good or Christian you might be acting, what's going on in here is what matters. And that's what God sees. We go over to 1 Peter and then James. And they talk about how the sinful desires, they wage war against our soul. There's this battle going on inside of us. James uses, he says, you know, why you fight? Why do you quarrel? Because from your these desires that battle within you, these things that are going on inside of us, this frail human beings that we are, we're battling this stuff. So just like in the physical world, we're having this daily hygienic battle against diseases and germs and stuff like that. In the spirit, a lot of us don't even think about that. We don't understand that automatically we are sick. Automatically we are corrupted. Automatically it's happened because we live in a world that's diseased, not just physically, but spiritually. There's things going on here. So just like we read in Jeremiah 17, how the heart is deceitful, we have to make an intentional vigilance to every day to realize, because when we have the wisdom to realize, okay, I'm not right. I need to intentionally have a vigilance to just kind of get myself in order here to clean up. So how do I do that? You know, we talk about, Jesus talks about the thoughts and the feelings, the desires that are inside of a person. This is what comes out of them. This is how you speak. This is how you act and all those things. So let's look at Proverbs 4. Verse 23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart." So that's it. This is one of the key remedies here. Guard your heart. So we found out that the heart is corrupt. It's having these problems. It's having these issues. Out of the heart comes out who a person is. And so the scriptures say, guard your heart. "For everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk away from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." So in simple terms, this is be careful, be mindful, be watchful, because you ain't well. You don't have it all together. You know, so it's like, realize that. And the next thing is you must practice living well, because you ain't well, the world's not well. You gotta practice this. So just like in the physical, we practice daily hygiene, we wash our hands, we bathe, we cleanse ourselves, we brush our teeth to resist bad odor, to resist infection, to resist disease, to resist, you know, just decay and just dying before our time, we do that physically. So and spiritually, it's very important as well, because spiritually, we are contaminated, we're diseased. So we gotta do something about that. So living clean in a dirty world, physically or spiritually. So let's look at Luke chapter 6. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." So again, we have to guard our hearts. And so guarding our hearts, it's like there's multiple dimensions in doing this. And so one of those is we must make sure that we're continuing in prayer. So think of prayer as like washing your hands. This is something we do all the time, we're supposed to. And something you're just doing daily, something that you're doing all the time. So if you don't have a prayer life, if you're not before your Father, God, if you're not in his presence, if you're not just speaking to him, if you're not having him involved in your life, a lot of times you're not cleansing, you're not cleaning spiritually, you're not letting these things come off of you. You gotta get in God's presence, because in his presence, that's where that, not just fullness of joy, but it's that cleanliness, it's that purity that he is, and that he shows you how to live, how to be wise in this world. So it requires taking control of whatever enters your heart. So all these things that we consume daily, because a lot of times we spend more time listening to podcasts and watching TV and listening to other people and following politics and all that stuff more than we ever spend time with God or in the Word and stuff like that. So what happens? You get contaminated with that stuff. It gets all over you. You get that residue all over you. Let's look it up, Psalm 119. Now the psalmist says here, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word." And he's talking to God. "I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." That's where it is. If you're not getting God's word inside you, in your very core of who you are, that's it. You will sin regularly. Because you don't have the word. You're not in his presence. You're not praying. You're not going after him. There's a daily spiritual hygiene that you have to do. And again, this is not about following rules. God's ways is not about following rules. It's just about being free and being wise, because he's the one who is clean. He's the one who is holy. He's the one who is wise. So why not learn from him? Why not learn from him? He's the one who knows how to live in a dirty world spotless, like Jesus did, because Jesus was God. He is God. So obedience to God's word is the first step. We must be obedient to his word. What does it mean to be obedient to his word? It means to walk in his word, to live it, to grow in it, to let it give us wisdom. Because when we realize that we're vulnerable, we realize that we're diseased, and we realize that we need God's wisdom, that's what it's all about. That's where it starts. So Philippians 4, verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So that's it. So that peace of God is just knowing, first of all, that Jesus is your Savior. That peace of God comes on you. And when you start to begin that relationship, start walking with him, and it's at that moment that your heart, in your mind, and Christ Jesus, as you're walking with him, it begins to be guarded, begins to be protected. And so believers' hearts, when they're not filled with truth, that's when it's filled more with the devil's lies. It's more filled more with the world's lies, because that's when we get corrupted. That's when the corruption comes. That's when that decay comes. So we are grounded in our inmost experience with God. That's what it's all about. That's what keeps us clean. The path to cleanliness is being with God and knowing him and knowing his ways, and you knowing who you are in him. This is the path of it. This is what it's all about. Now, not only are we to guard our hearts, we also to live by God's wisdom, which is basically what the scriptures say. So in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 12, it says, "Wisdom is a shelter, just as money is a shelter." So just like money, we have money, we know that we can have a home, car, food, it shelters us. Just like wisdom is the same way. And the advantage, and there's an advantage to having knowledge, which is wisdom. But the writer here says, but the difference is wisdom preserves those who have it. In other words, wisdom keeps the one who has it alive. So you can't live without wisdom. This is the word of God. You have to have God's wisdom because it helps you navigate life. It helps you to understand, okay, this world is dirty. My heart is corrupt. Okay, how do I get clean? How do I deal with this? How do I keep from getting sick? How do I keep from dying? So recognizing God's authority forms the foundation of wisdom. It deepens your knowledge of Him, and it just begins to build your understanding of how the world works and how He is and what's going on. And you seeking God's wisdom is an active pursuit. It's something you have to actively do. Again, just like we have daily hygiene, we have to have daily spiritual hygiene and keep it going. And so talking about wisdom, we all know this verse here in Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus talks about, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Though the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. On the wisdom of God, on the wisdom of Jesus, that's the foundation of our lives. I remember my wife and I, we were recording. The foundation of our relationship was Jesus. It was Christ. We made an effort to put God first in all things, and we built our relationship on that so that even to today, it still stands. And we're not perfect. You know, we get off balance, and we get upset with one another and all that kind of stuff. But man, at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus, you know, and he brings us together. And we realize, okay, yeah, there's a reason why we're married. We love each other, and we love Jesus, and all right, let's move on. So, praise God. So, wisdom is a practical practice. You have to practice it. You have to practice wisdom. You have to listen to God. You have to, just like we have wisdom from these doctors and science, it shows us, okay, there's this microscopic world that's invading your being, and you have to have this hygiene to take care of it. And the weird thing about it is that a lot of times, physically, how often do you guys go to the dentist and you find out, like, then it's like, how often do you brush your teeth? Are you flossing? Oh yeah, I'm doing that. You're not getting way in the back, you know, or something like that. It's like you're not doing something properly. And so there's something like my brother, he has a habit of he loves Altoids, so he's always, you know, sucking on Altoids like all the time, and he would also like go to bed at night with an Altoid in his mouth and just fall asleep, and it's like decaying in his mouth. So his doctor's trying to figure out, like, why do you keep having these cavities? Like, what's going on? And you know, they kind of figured out finally that, oh, I'm falling asleep with Altoids in my mouth. And the doctor's like, stop doing that. You know, the dentist, you know, switch on to something else. And so he started, was like, okay, I need to stop doing that. And so so we realized that, you know, okay, there's practices that we might be brushing. And he's a clean freak. He's always brushing his teeth. So it's surprising that why he had cavities. So we have to realize how to properly, just like the cat and Elmo and stuff like that, teaching our kids, we have to know how to properly clean our teeth, how to properly wash our hands, how long to wash your hands and stuff like that. Same thing spiritually. We have to learn how to properly, you know, walk with God and pray and spend time in His presence and stuff like that. Not that there's a right way or a wrong way, but there's a way to not just be so Cain about it. So Cain, he didn't really give an offering to God that was pleasing to him. And so he got upset about it, even though his brother Abel got it. But anyhow. All right, so this is a very dangerous thing, is familiarity. So in the physical sense, you know, you have people who, the odors in their house, they get blind to. This usually happens with cat people. You don't realize how bad your house stinks. And other people come over there and they're like, whoa, you know. Or maybe, you know, your kid's room, you go in there and they're just like, what is going on in here? And you're like, what's the big deal? I don't smell anything. It smells fine to me. Say, no, this something's not right. But what happens, they have this what's called nose blindness. And so even people who are like they work in like a certain industry and they're like, they don't realize the fumes and stuff like that because they come blind to it. It's the same thing spiritually. You know, we become blind to these things. We get involved in society and all of a sudden it's like we don't realize that things are bad, that things are contaminated, something is rotting in your life because you can't sense it, you know. And so, like, vulgarity and greed is like, There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting a bunch of stuff, you know, stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with just kind of just talking any old kind of way and acting any old kind of way, or, you know, sexuality can be anything you want it to be. And a lot of times it's good to have bitterness, to have something to hate, have a cause to be upset with and to demonize. A lot of people have this pride that we just like made something of ourselves and we want to flaunt it around and stuff like that. We want to have a constant outrage about something to be mad about. And also our entertainment is just saturated with all kinds of darkness, you know. So nowadays to have a movie or a show is trying to be as shocking as possible, as dark and deep as it can be, as violent as it can be, and as all these kind of things. And so we become numb to that now. And I gotta check myself sometimes too. It's like, man, Derek, what are you watching? Dude, turn that off, you know. And so you gotta check yourself, because you don't want to get that stuff inside you. But a lot of times, a lot of us have become nose blind. We don't even smell it anymore. We don't even smell or realize that what we're watching, what we're listening to, who we're hanging out with, and all that kind of stuff is like corrupting us, and it's gonna make us sick. So it's something we gotta watch for. A polluted environment eventually changes what smells normal. So if you live in a polluted environment and that's all you know, you don't even realize that you're in something that's polluting you, because it's normal, even though it's not. So cleanliness requires daily attention, just like we know. Wash your hands, brush your teeth, clean up yourself, you know, wash down the counter. If you're cutting up a raw chicken, clean up really good, because it's gonna mess you up later on if you keep it there on the countertop. Same thing spiritually, man. Holiness is not a one-time event. You don't just come one day and get saved and all right, cool, I'm good, and you go out. Same thing, you know, you don't just take a shower once in your whole life. I took me a good old shower, man, that was great. Man, the steam was going, I was sudsing up, it was awesome, man. And I just got out, and you know that feeling you get after you take a shower, you just feel so good, and then the dog comes and jumps on you or something like that. It's like, ah, come on. Or especially if you have small kids, they're on you, hey, and they're just gooey, and they sneeze on you, and snot comes flying out, and just like, ah, oh, just ruined everything. But if you only took that one shower, you're not set. So we don't just take one shower and we just go on for 1 year, you know, or for the rest of your life. You gotta keep it going. It's a constant thing. It's the same thing spiritually. To be holy, to walk in God's ways, is not just, okay, I came to church, I'm good for a month, see y'all next time, you know. You gotta keep it going. Prayer, scripture, repentance. A lot of us, all of us, gotta keep an attitude of repenting. Me, I say stuff sometimes, I'm just like, oh, Derek, why'd you say that to that person? And you gotta repent. You gotta say, sorry to God, sorry to that person, you know, and because I'm not perfect. Worship, you gotta keep worship. And worship's not just about singing songs, listening to music. It's part of that, but it's a lifestyle. It's just keeping God and Jesus, keeping them in your thoughts, keeping them in your habits, keeping them just when you're around people, you're just worshiping God and you're just showing his nature and who he is. Confession, you know, just, hey man, I blew it, you know, and just confessing to another believer, a friend or something like that. You just say, hey, I'm having this issue. You know, you confess, I did this. You know, you're admitting to it. And it's very important to have Christian fellowship. You know, be around other believers. Right. Come to church, but also just get involved. Have you know, go have a meal with someone you know who's a good Christian, and you know, and just be around people like that. Because clean people keep other people clean. You're supposed to. So that's the benefit of living a clean life, is so that you also can be someone who helps others to stay clean. So let's go to Ephesians 5. Verse 15, it says, and this is Paul speaking, and he writes down, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So when Paul's talking about the days being evil, he's just talking about this present age and how it is fundamentally hostile towards God. The whole system of the world is just hostile towards God. This whole world, how it works, how people think, is hostile towards God. And so what Paul talks about it in Ephesians, he talks about how the world is. He talks about how the world is basically in allegiance with the devil. it's the devil's territory, basically, and how he's diseased it all up. He's got his stank all over it. And now it's all on us too, you know, and all that. And that's why it's very important to realize that, okay, every day is, when I'm going out there, I have to be careful. You know, I have to be vigilant and be wise and be smart. So just like you had to be wise in the physical world, oh, I should have ate that if it fell on the floor. You're not going to pick it up because you're being wise and say, that's not wise to eat that. As much as I want that, I worked hard for it and I dropped it, I'm not going to eat it. Because you realize it's a wise thing not to eat that because you can get sick. So in the same way, we have to be vigilant. We have to be careful in this world. All right, so we have all these small habits. A small habit can become like a major problem. So if you don't have the habit of washing your hands, then you get the flu, you get sick. You don't have the habit of cleaning a wound, that wound can get infected, right? If you don't have a habit of brushing your teeth properly, then you can have a cavity, you can have some decay. If you don't have the habit of safely handling your food, again, you're not getting it contaminated and stuff like that, there could be a major problem if you don't do that properly physically. In the same way spiritually, if you're not having daily prayer, if you're not controlling how you speak, if you're not avoiding temptation, if you're not being accountable to your actions, if you're not having an attitude of gratitude about how good God is and what he's done in your life, if you're not having an attitude of forgiveness towards others, those little things, if you're not having that, can cause major problems. Then you can begin to have hate. Then you can begin to have anger. Then you can begin to have depression. Then you can begin to have just any old kind of thing. And so when you walk into the room, you could be that person that just stinks up the whole joint. So you don't want to be that person. So not just physically, the same way when we're getting clean every day and we're coming to a public place, we do that not just for ourselves, but also for the benefit of others. We don't want to be that person in the room that stinks, you know, or who has that dragon breath, you know. We maintain that. But the same thing spiritually. You don't want to be that person that walks into the room and it's like, oh, man, here they come. Because you know that's going to be the person that just brings their problems. They're going to bring all their hate. They're going to bring in, like I talked about this last time I was up here, but I'm not really into politics, but I'm talking, we're just in a group of people, we're just talking, we're just going on, and we're having a good time, and then someone brings up politics, it's like, man, come on, dude, stop that, come on, you just blew up the whole thing, you just, woo, get out of here, you know, you want to tell them to get out of there, but anyhow, that's just my pet peeve. Don't be that person that comes into the room and it just brings all, just that, ugh. Your very presence just becomes, it just makes everyone else unsettled and all that kind of stuff. So it's very important that these little small disciplines that we have in our life of prayer and just looking out for ourselves spiritually, it's going to benefit others. It's going to benefit those we spend time with. So are you that person in your family that's kind of stinking up the joint and making things sour and spreading sickness and disease spiritually? Or are you the ones who's bringing sanitation and good things and stuff like that? So, a little comment here is most disasters are prevented long before they become disasters. So, if you can nip it in the bud to begin with, then that's when you don't realize how much of a disaster you're taking care of. So again, we know about viruses and spreading all these kind of things. Spiritually speaking, when you're having bitterness, when you're gossiping, when you're having anger, you're compromising your life. You know, you're making compromises to, oh, well, I'm going to go ahead and do that. You know, it's fine. I'll just do a little bit of that. I'm just going to, you know. Or you have this unbelief about certain things. It just infesters. It gets all over the place. And so those things could be contaminating. You know, they can spread to other people. So if you have these doubts and fears and unbeliefs and stuff like that, you're going to spread them to other people. But in the same way, good things can be spread as well. So if you're a person full of joy and peace and righteousness and purity and wisdom, you're going to spread that to others as well. And that's what you want to spread. You don't want to spread bad things, just like you don't want to spread sickness. But spiritually speaking, on the good side, if you have good things about you, you have good things in your heart, you're going to spread that. And that's what you're supposed to spread. That is the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That righteousness, right standing with God, right standing with people, and all that going well. That's it. That's what you want to spread, because that's the world that God wants. That's what he meant to create. not this one we're spreading all this sickness and disease. So don't be that person that's just spreading all this bad stuff around your family, spreading all this bad stuff around your workplace, or spreading bad stuff around the church. You know, don't be that person. Man. All right, the other thing is infection. We have to be careful. See, you never realize you get like a cut, you know, and sometimes I get cuts, I'm like, man, and you go to like wash your hands or you sweat or something like that, and you, all of a sudden you feel this sting and this burn, and you're like, man, where did that come from? It's like, ah. So you gotta take care of that, you gotta put a Band-Aid on. It's the same thing spiritually. A lot of times we have these cuts spiritually. We don't even realize that we have them. And then we get into a contaminated atmosphere, and then we don't realize this stuff starts to affect us. Maybe there might be something we're watching, and we're thinking we're cool, I can deal with that, I got that. Or I can listen to that, I got that. But you don't realize, spiritually speaking, you have this incision somewhere, and it is, it's seeping in, it's infecting you, and it's eventually gonna fester, and it's gonna cause an issue. It's the same way spiritually, you know, all those kind of things. So we have to be very careful, you know, what we do. We have to make sure that we're taking care of all these different things. Now, Jesus uses something that shocks a lot of people. They don't realize what he's saying, then that could be shocking. And in Matthew chapter 5, and he's talking about adultery. And he says, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And he says, "If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away." Ouch. And he says, "It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." So like, what is Jesus talking about here? He's using hyperbole. He's exaggerating. This is something that's common for the rabbis to do. And what he's talking about is spiritual amputation. So you think about a doctor. He's got a patient, and their limb is infected. It is gonna, if that limb stays on them, it's gonna make their whole body sick and die. And so what does the doctor do? They're gonna amputate that leg. They're gonna amputate that arm, or whatever it is, so that the sickness won't spread to the body, so that the whole body, that whole person can continue to live. It is best for that leg to go. You're not gonna have that leg, but you're gonna have the rest of your body. You're gonna have a life. And so, in the same way, this is what Jesus is talking about. It's like, look, if something is causing you to go down that path, to have those thoughts, because you're going to go there, cut it off, man. Get rid of it. Deal with it, you know. Go after it and destroy it. So we have to protect. We protect our values. We protect things that are valuable to us. So we make sure that the water we drink is clean. We make sure that the food we eat is clean. Hospitals have to stay sanitary to make sure they're not spreading things. We take care of our babies, newborn babies, to make sure that they're, you know, I remember when our first kid, Michaela, was born, and we stayed away from the church for a while because we didn't want people touching our baby. You want to make sure there's no, we don't want their germs all over our baby and stuff like that. By the time we got to Eli, my son, he was like, "Ah, just bring him to church." He's fine. You figure it out. But no. We protect our babies from diseases, stuff like that. So things that we care about, we protect. We try to make sure it's clean because we realize that. But also, Christians should guard our minds and our hearts. We should guard our marriages and our homes. We should guard our conversations and what we and our entertainment that we're involved in. We should guard our influences. We should protect that. It should be very important. And not everything that's dangerous looks dirty. There's things that are like, that is not good for you, but it does not look harmful at all. You know, so, but it can be. So we have to be careful of that. Because, you know, poison doesn't advertise itself. You know, you can be poisoned. How many times did we get sick? We don't realize it. Man, what was it? What got us? You know, because we didn't realize it. Something was harmless. At least it looked like it was harmless. And so the most dangerous contamination is often the kind that you cannot see. So that's why it's very important to be alert, to be wise, to be vigilant, and all those kind of things. All right. So we're going to skip ahead here. So the last thing we need to think about is this journey with Christ through the Holy Spirit. This is how we stay clean. So just like physical cleansing removes dirt from the body, spiritual cleansing, it points us towards forgiveness and repentance. to renewal and grace. And these are the things that cure us. These are the things that wash us. These are the things that purify us and all those kind of things. All right, so I'm going to go quick here, Scott, so stay with me. I'm going to close it up here. So instead of me just keep talking, we're going to read through the passages here, through some passages, and just go with me here, because it's going to kind of wash over you. You're not going to remember this, but just write these verses down if you can and just go back to them later. So let's start with Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." That means right now. It's not like we're waiting to get to heaven. It starts now. So remember the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, "Your will be done, God, on earth as it is in heaven." Right now. Now is the time. So while we wait for the blessed hope, that is what is to come, that is the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in" what kind of nature? The divine nature. Whose nature is that? That's his nature. That's what it's all about. That's where we're supposed to be. That's the cleanliness we're supposed to have. "Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith." So you get saved and you say, "Okay, I'm good. That's it. Am I going to heaven? Are we cool?" And you go on and you just live in a dirty world and you don't stay spiritually hygiened, if that's a word. You know, you got to keep it up. But no, Paul's saying, dude, after that, add to your faith, add to goodness, and Peter says this, and to your goodness, add knowledge. And the knowledge about God and his ways and his word. And to knowledge, add self-control. Get yourself under control. And to self-control, perseverance. Keep on getting at it. And to perseverance, godliness. That means keeping clean all the time, Bubba. And godliness, mutual affection. That means love. You're loving folks. You're loving people. 2 Peter 8, that's just the next verse. So verse 8 says, For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will what? Never stumble. We wonder why we're always sick. We wonder why we're always messing up. It's because we're not living clean in a dirty world. Spiritually speaking as well. And then you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm almost done. Hang with me. Galatians 5:16, we know about, we walk by the Spirit. If you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, it is at war with it. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh, they are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so it talks about all the acts of the flesh or all these things that make you sick. They make you, you know, just off. And he says, "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. These are the good things. These are the things you want to have. These are the things you want to spread. That's the kingdom of God. In verse 25, it says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." That just means this is a daily thing. Keep it going. Don't stop. Don't stop. It's a daily thing. It's a lifestyle. So just like we have soap and water, soap by itself does not cleanse us. You have to have water. To activate it, you have to go. So even the liquid soap, you got to have water. Otherwise, it's just a gooey, sticky mess. You got to activate it. So just like the Word of God is like soap, the Holy Spirit is like water. You put the two together, and it washes you clean. You got to have that touch. That's what it's all about. So a lot of us, we want to chase the Holy Spirit. We want to have just Holy Spirit all the time, which we do, we need that. But if you don't have the, God's word in you, to the, his truth, that has to, both of that has to be activated, because the Spirit of truth, he's all about that detergent. He wants that, he wants something to work with. You know, so if the word's not in you, then you can't suds up, you can't get clean fully. So how many times have you tried to clean something with a dry rag? You can get part of it off, but you don't get all of it. You make it wet, you get a lot of it off, but you realize there's more there. You get that solution, you mix it all together, you're getting that residue, you're getting that, you know. Because a lot of us aren't washing, you know, raw chicken off our hands with just water, right? We're gonna use soap. We're gonna make sure all of that microscopic stuff is gone. Romans 12, we know this one. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will. Again, his will be done. His will be done. That's what it's all about. And this is what we're going after, God's will, not what we want. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, be holy as, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So again, being holy is not about being like perfect in the sense we think of perfect, but it's about being perfect like God, because God is a complete being. He's the complete being. He is everything. And so we are supposed to be mimicking him, Jesus. That's what it's all about. Last verse, and I swear I'm gonna close it. Ephesians 4:22, it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like who? Like God. In true righteousness, not that fake righteousness, and in true holiness. This is what we're supposed to be as image bearers of God, of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be, his divine nature, and to be like our Creator, our Father. That's what it's all about. And so in that sense, then the world can become from clean to clean, from dirty to clean. This is what God's doing. God is using us, you and me, to set the world right again. I don't know why, because we're some messed up people, but he decided to do it that way. And so it's like he is recreating the world through us, through his church. And so it starts now. Heaven starts now. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is nigh, it is at hand, he's saying, okay, I'm here, we're getting this bubble started. It's the already, but not yet. This is going to be new someday, but it's going to start right now. On 2,000 years later, here we are, we're still doing it. We follow Christ. We keep everything clean. We keep it going. So, every day we protect ourselves from physical contamination because we understand the world we live in. We understand. But Christians must develop the same awareness spiritually, not living in fear, but living with wisdom, vigilance, and daily cleansing before God. A fallen world does not stay outside of us automatically. We must learn what it means to stay spiritually clean while living inside of it. So let this just be a call to holiness, wisdom, and spirit-led living. That's what it's all about. So as believers, as Christians, this is how we live. This is how we do it. So again, this is not about trying to get to heaven. This is about bringing heaven to earth. This is about us walking the way that Jesus meant us to walk. And so this is meant for somebody. And I know it is. And so I hope this blesses you, and I hope that we can understand that it's not about following rules, it's not about trying to get to heaven, it's about being like him. And it's about letting his odor, which is pleasing, letting his presence, which is great and wonderful, letting his will and his peace go about this earth, and to go on other people and all that kind of stuff, and to make our lives better, to make our walk in life more healthy. Because I tell you what, before I was walking with Jesus, I was miserable. After walking with Jesus, I'm not miserable. I'm happy. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, we cast our minds back to that day when Jesus brought communion to us and said, do this in remembrance of me. And so this is his call to his people to say, look, remember me. Remember what I've done for you. Remember that this is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you, so that you be fully restored, fully healed, and that diseased way you've been living can be blotted out, and you can start anew, and you can start fresh. You've taken that good old shower through me. Now let's keep it going. Let's go. And so, as we take these elements, remember that. This is not something we just do weekly, just out of, all right, we're going to do communion. Think of it. Just think of what the Lord has done. Think about his love and his compassion and his grace. Think about that, man, he means for me to be well. He means for me to be free. He means for me, I am forgiven. No matter what I've done yesterday or this morning or today or whenever, I am forgiven through Christ Jesus, who is my salvation, who is my hope, who is my joy. That's it. So let's remember that. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and you guys are free to come up and take communion. So Lord, we just thank you that you will have your way, that we remember, Lord, that you have taken on our punishment. You have taken on our transgressions and our sin, and you have obliterated. You have obliterated evil. You have obliterated corruption and contamination. And by your blood, you have washed and blotted out all sin away, that we are cleansed. Come and partake. Amen. I just pray that you as believers would just be a light in this world and just do the will of God. And again, we do it with joy and just loving one another, and just let's just see this place filled up one day, just full of other people just believing and just coming in just to be cleansed and just to see how awesome and how good our God is and all his grace. And so I just pray, guys, you have a great day and a great week ahead, and that you be safe and blessed and all those good things. Have a good day. Thanks.